truth, walking in the truth, walking in the light, part 5. We're still talking about transformed by renewing our mind. Our text changed a little bit. 2 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things, that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, you see, what the reason I'm lingering on this teaching about eternal life is, it's one of the most important things that a Christian must understand. Every other thing we're doing is jara. The life is the main. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Living this life that Jesus brought us is the main thing. So we just want to look at it properly and make sure we understand how to live the Christian what? Life. Especially in the days in which we live, in which we have preponderance of confusion about it, going from one extreme to the other bizarre extreme and everything in between. So we need to understand that the scripture says that to the extent my soul prospers, is to that extent I will prosper too in every other thing that I'm doing. Is to that extent I'll prosper in my business, to that extent I prosper in life as family man, whatever I'm doing. So he says, we will prosper and be in health even as my soul what? Prosper. So it's important. It is important that my soul has to prosper. And what prospers my soul? Is the word of God. The Bible says it saves your soul. It prospers your soul. The truth of the word of God is what prospers our soul. So we need to really, really listen to these things so that we'll be able to really prosper. You know, God said to Joshua that if you want to prosper, he says, these words that I'm giving you, they must not depart from what? Yes, you have to put it in your heart. You have to think about it day and night and meditate on it. Then you make good success. You see, you can be a millionaire and be a miserable failure. That you have money doesn't mean you have succeeded. I hope we know that. There are millionaires whose families are in shambles. There are millionaires whose lives is totally in shambles. They depend on drugs, depend on this, depend. There are people that you call stars. In the eyes of God, they are not stars at all. They are really miserable. They prop themselves up with substances. There are things we call success that is not success at all. You know, we have a saying in my place. He said, instead of carrying me and my leg is dangling on the floor, say, leave me alone, let me walk. So there is this type of life that we think is success. That you have 10 cars doesn't mean you succeeded. That you have 20 million in the bank doesn't mean you have succeeded. There is a man that had a lot of money, and then Jesus called him a fool. Jesus called him a fool. And if God says you are a fool, then you are an absolute what? Fool. So to have success is to have a balanced life. You may not have too much money, but you can be successful. John the Baptist was very successful, even though he didn't have any money in any bank. But he fulfilled divine will for his life. Amen? To succeed is to fulfill divine will for your life. Very, very successful. Young Cho is a pastor of one of the biggest churches in the world. He said that American preachers think that he's not successful because he doesn't have 20 cars. He said, I ride Korean car and I live in a Korean apartment. He said, I'm successful because I have peace. I have health. I have good success in what I'm doing. He said, that's success as far as I'm concerned. Success is not measured by money. Success is measured by the will of God. So if you succeed, if you prosper in your soul as God instructs you, then you prosper in everything you do. Amen? So it's important for us to now listen to what we're saying. What will prosper us in life is the truth. Is the truth. And I want to say that the truth you do not know will not work for you. The truth you do not know will what? It will not work for you. It's not going to work. You're not going to have the experience. That's why it's important to know this truth. It is the truth you know that works for you. The ones you don't know, they won't work. And so if you don't know the truth about eternal life, it won't work for you. You will not be living it too. I'm not saying you won't go to church. And I'm not saying you won't be shouting praise the Lord. But you'll be living like the Pharisees and living like Moses. You will not experience it. You have a lot of stress. A lot of stress trying to please God. A lot of struggle. A lot of guilt. A lot of condemnation. A lot of misery trying to please God. A lot of confusion. You won't tell anybody. A lot of headache. No peace. Nobody knows it. Because it's been swept under the carpet. Because you're not flourishing like the Christian should flourish. You're not living the eternal life. So it's important that we know this, understand it, so that you flow in what God gave you. You flourish without effort. And you enjoy it. Amen? I had a story about somebody who went into a car with his box, sat in the bus, and carried his box on his head. But you know he had the option of keeping the box down, but he carried it where? On his head. And while the bus was going, the man was still stressed because he was carrying his box on his head. This thing happened in Ekulobia. If you tell them what I said here, I know you are the one that told on me. So some Christians are like that. I want you to listen to me. Some Christians are carrying their luggage where? On their head. And they are sitting in Christ. So what are you doing? So I want to please God. They are not relaxed. Not enjoying life. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's nothing. What are you doing? I want to please God. Relationally, he's a wreck. Doesn't know how to relate with people. If you relate with them, no joy comes out of it. It's always sparks, stress, nothing. Nothing to enjoy. No moment to relax. No moment to feel, to loosen up. No. I say, how do you know? Because I was like that. But that's not eternal life. All I'm trying to say is that you may not be living this eternal life. You may not be living it. I'm not saying you are not going to church and shouting hallelujah. I'm not saying that. You may not really be living it. Because if you leave it, you enter into the rest of God, you're flourishing God. So it's important that we know the truth about it. The Bible says that all the truth that we need to know to live this eternal life and to enjoy everything God has given us is found in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:2. I'm reading New Living Translation. I want them to be encouraged. Colossians 2:2. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. Complete confidence that they understand what? Come on, talk to me. That they understand what? God's mysterious plan, which is what? Christ himself. He said, I want the church to be confident that they understand the plan that God has made for them and executed in Christ for them. That it's important that we know this mysterious plan. Why is this mysterious plan? It's not revealed to everybody. It's only in Christ you know it. You don't find it in the universities. You find it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that plan is Christ himself. And the reason that the church, a lot of Christians don't live eternal life, is that the emphasis in churches is not Christ himself. The emphasis in churches is the laws of Moses. It's not Christ himself. There is no emphasis on teaching the body of Christ about the mysterious plans of God found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Found only where? That's why there's a lot of prayer failure, a lot of confusion, a lot of trooping around looking for who will see vision for me, who will tell me who's about tomorrow, looking for who will pray for me, looking for who will give me a word from the Lord. Look, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? There's a lot of trooping around. And that's not living the eternal life. Because they don't know the mysterious plans of God through which God has made things available to mankind. And the Bible said that plan is Christ Jesus himself. Then verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together, all of us. In him lie hidden what? All the treasures of wisdom. And let's read it again. In him lie what? Did you see the word hidden? Did you see the word hidden? Yes, it's hidden. That's why you don't just see it. It's hidden. And I'll tell you pretty soon why it's hidden. It's hidden. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that you and I need. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing in life. And it says that wisdom will give you a crown of glory, prolong your life. In Christ Jesus lies hidden. Hidden all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. Remember, I told you that it's in him that all the truth is. Again, let me say it again without your contradiction. In the body of Christ, generally, there hasn't been sufficient emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom this wisdom is. There hasn't been. And because of that, the Christians are totally ignorant of this plan. And they are not experiencing them. Praise the Lord. I just heard about a brother was sharing a testimony how he went to a workshop. He took his car to Toyota dealership. And when he got there, the mechanic was working in another car, and the mechanic came out, knew him. He wanted to embrace him, and the mechanic said, no. He said, I can't come near you. He said, because I have a flu. I don't want to pass my flu. And the brother said to him, no, he said, I caught flu, and I don't want to pass it on you. The brother said to him, I caught healing, and I want to pass it on to you. Amen. You see, living the eternal life makes all the difference. It's not religion. No. It's not all this. It's not that I fasted 20 days. It's not, that's not it. Living the eternal life, it kind of, your sphere of influence and the effectiveness for Christ is superb. Totally superb. Anywhere you are, God is using it to bring a serious influence over people around you. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? He said to the mechanic, you call flu, I call healing. He said, I don't want to infect you with my flu. So they said, no, I want to infect you with my healing. He said, come here, I want to lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. That's it. That's living the eternal life. That's the type of life that Jesus gave us to live. And by so doing, you bring the gospel down to people practically, everywhere you are. Somebody else, you may say to yourself, ha, I caught flu. I don't want to. In fact, he said, yeah, bro, keep your distance. Please don't come near. That's not the life of Christ. I remember when they killed my mom, there was one man that was coming to bury her something, and all of them thought it was so dangerous that I shouldn't shake him. I'm telling you. So when I was going to shake him, they were crying for me. I really made a point of going to shake him. I now went to the gate to welcome him, shake him well, and brought him inside the house. They were crying for me. Because they felt that the man was so dangerous that he would take me out. But I was the one that was what? Dangerous. Yeah, they were crying for me. I didn't pray about it. There are things you don't pray about. Things you don't bother yourself. The Christian is so fortified. You have no idea what God did in you. The Christian is so what? Fortified. That even if he drinks any deadly thing, shall not hurt. He's so fortified. And the spirit that is so afraid of you is called Satan. He is so, when the devil sees you, the Christian, he is quaking and shaking. Because the scripture says if he remembers that there is God, he is what? Terrorized. Now you carry God along. He sees you and sees the same God. What does he do? He's quaking and wee-weeing. And you tell me not to shake him. No, I'll shake him. You know, that's shaking the man alone. Shaking the man alone and a couple of things that happened there. You know what their pastor said? And I'm just saying this to buttress the eternal life that God gave us. Their pastor, who didn't believe, he said that I joined Warehouse Church. This man took microphone and my wife was there. He said, this man knows the God that is serving. He said, truly he knows God and he knows God. She was there. They announced it to him. He said, this man, he knows God, he knows the God is serving. That what he's doing is right. I didn't preach nothing. All you do is live that life that God gave. Because that's light. That's what? It's the light of the world, Christ in you. Shining anywhere you go. You can't argue with reality now because it's real. No matter what you argue, when one of them came to me and said, I said, this thing you preach is true. He said, we make meeting for you. He said, we plan against you. He said, anytime you show up, all our plan will scatter. We get confused and we start doing the opposite. I'm not making this up. He said, we start doing the opposite. He said, you know what they are preaching is. You don't have to argue with people. That's why living eternal life is important. Because through that life, Christ is revealed to people without your talking. Sir. Talk of what the scripture talks. It said if your husband or wife is ungodly, it says through your own life, they will be what? Won over. Just watching what Christ is doing. It's amazing. The life of Jesus is the most amazing life. It's so amazing what he does wherever he's allowed to shine. It's not religion. It's not don't do this. Don't forget about all this. Praise the Lord. So in him, in Christ Jesus, lies all the knowledge that you need. In him is all the mysterious plan of God. In him is the wisdom you need. In him is everything you need. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? Church. The truth is in who? Come on, talk to me. The truth is in who? In Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know the truth, what are you supposed to be studying about? Church, come on. What? Jesus. He's not being emphasized. The Lord asked me this thing. Many years back, I was sitting in that place. He said, since you became a Christian, how many times have they taught you about myself? And they said, he's the message. I didn't even understand it myself that day. He said, he's the message. I'm not kidding you. I didn't understand what he was saying. I said, Lord, but we preach. He said, what you preach is, you're telling people what they do, what to do. They don't have the strength to do that. That's why my son came. He's their strength. They don't know it. And what you don't know is bigger than you. Praise the Lord. So we must focus on knowing Jesus Christ. We find the truth in him. We find the reality in him. We find that truth that sets free in him. In him. In him. When we know this truth, grace is multiplied. Which means you come into experience of what grace supplies. It's multiplied in your life. You experience a lot of things that grace brought to you. It is through the knowledge of Jesus that these things begin to multiply. You begin to experience them. Let me say it again. The truth you don't know won't work for you. It won't work. I don't care how many times you yell and shout. It won't work. It won't work. The truth I know is not what will work for you. What will work for you is the truth what? You know yourself. And Jesus is that truth. Can I hear amen? So you find that people who don't have the knowledge of Christ are carnally minded people. They are carnally minded Christians. What did we call them? I didn't hear you. What did we call them? How many of us are carnally minded? Nobody will raise this. That shows me we are really carnally minded. You know the word carnal minded was not used in the Old Testament at all. Because all of them were carnally minded. The reason it was not used is because they were all carnally minded. You cannot but be carnally minded. The only thing that transforms a mind from carnality to spirituality is the knowledge of Christ, and Christ had not come about that time. The Bible says in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He hadn't come about that time. So they didn't know him. And Moses didn't preach him. Moses only pointed people to him. He said, a prophet like me will God raise among you. He was pointing people to the coming Messiah. But he didn't preach him. He gave them commandments. Praise the Lord. He gave them what? Commandments. And the Bible called it carnal ordinance. And the scripture says that those commandments could not give them life. Instead, they produced death. Could not give them life. So when Moses was ministering, they were carnally minded. Because it's only the knowledge of Christ. Let me repeat this thing here. It's only the knowledge of Jesus Christ that transforms your mind from carnality to what? Spiritual. Only him. Church, only him. John 1:17. John 1:17. For the law was given by who? Moses. But grace and truth came by. Did you see how the Spirit of God differentiated the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Jesus Christ? They are not the same thing at all. The truth that sets free came through Christ. It didn't come by Moses. It didn't come by Moses at all. And Galatians 3:21 nailed it down. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, if there had been a law, what? Given, church. If there had been a law given, which could have given life. Verily then, people can be righteous through keeping the law. God is saying there's no law that will give you life. Not one. And in the past many years, the church has focused on laws that don't give life. And that's why people don't live eternal life. They live like Pharisees, live like Moses. And there's a lot of wickedness in the hearts of people. A lot of heartlessness going on. And you wonder why people can't stop gossiping. You wonder why people can't stop a lot of things. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, when a Christian doesn't know Jesus Christ, let me say, me and Brother Don. Brother Don, can I have you just a second? Just a second. Brother Don is the Christian. And now I'm the Christian. So Brother Don is the Christian, and I'm not saved. He doesn't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. What do you think our characters will be like? The same thing. No difference. And then here he is. He doesn't know Jesus, and his pastor is Endokwe, teaching him the laws of what? Moses. Will he give him life? All he brings to is condemnation. But that's what people teach him. A lot. A lot. They say, you are not preaching sin. Go and sit down. Is Jesus sin? And so they leave him with no knowledge that will transform his heart from carnality to what? Spiritual. What is being fed is what has no relevance to the transformation of his heart. And because his heart is not transformed, he's not living the eternal life, even though he has it in him. Because his heart is not transformed, he can't receive things from God. Because the carnal mind does not receive things from God. Because the things of God are foolishness, what? And he's living in misery. He doesn't find the relevance of the church to him. So coming to church is dragging his feet. Now tell him to preach the gospel. What does he know he's preaching to people? Doesn't know anything to preach. And you're telling him to preach the gospel, hasn't worked for him. He hasn't seen the relevance yet. And you say, we're doing evangelism. What do you think he would do? He would go to his job and say, please book me. Because that one is the one, at least he has, he said, thank you. Because I went home one time, I saw our people in my, if you tell people this story, I will know you are the one. So I saw my relations in my house. They were sharing rice, bags of rice. And I said to them, I said, what are you people doing? They say, Emmanuel, carry your Bible and leave us alone. Don't put mouth in this thing. They said, this is the government we know. I said, how do you mean? They said, they came here and took our voting cards and gave us two bags of rice. So we are sharing it. I'm telling you. I said, you did? They said, yes. We gave them all our voting cards, all of them. And then they gave us two bags of rice. And they said, there is not, this government will do nothing for us. Even if we don't give them, even if we vote, our vote will still not count. They will rig it. So these two bags of rice is the government we know. And they told me, take your Bible and leave us alone. So you are telling him to do evangelism. His mind is in the job. The government he knows is they book me for extra job. If somebody call off, please, I'm available. Because to his mind, listen to me, brethren. To his mind, the things of God are what? Foolish. He doesn't have the ability to understand it. He doesn't. You tell him to stop gossiping, it doesn't make sense to him. If you tell him to forgive people, it's a struggle. He struggles and succumbs. He succumbs. The issue about loving, when you say love people, he doesn't really understand what they're talking about. And when we come from a culture that is mainly obligatory, talk of love is difficult to understand because we do things by obligation. So when you tell them that God loves you and God can give you things out of his grace, it makes no sense at all. It's just like preaching the gospel to the people in the Middle East and telling them that Jesus died for the sins of the world. To them, it's abomination because they believe that you should kill the person. So if you tell them like that, they think it's not an honorable thing to do. They won't accept the gospel. Because to them, you must stone the person and kill him. That's what they call honor killing. Somebody who brings shame to the family should be killed. And you're telling him that Jesus took our shame. They say, no, we don't want anything to do with him. So the carnal-minded Christian, you tell me, see, it's the blood of Jesus that brings you to Christ. It doesn't make sense, my friend. But you're not telling 40 days fast. He say, yeah, I mean. Because he thinks that obligation, I have to do something to get God obligated to us or what? That's his kind of thinking working. That's his mentality working. Because that's the way he lives his life. Are you following my point? You see, what we're trying to deal with is a fundamental issue, problem that is in the body of Christ. I'm telling people, a lot of Christians don't live spiritual life. Their prayers don't work. They don't even hear God. So how do you know? I talk with a lot of people. They don't hear God. They're confused about the voice of God. Once you start saying, the most question people ask is, how does God lead me? I say, you've been a Christian. How have you been living your life? So a Christian who doesn't know Christ, the truth that is in Christ, is going to live like a heathen. And no matter the laws you are giving him, he doesn't have the mindset to respond to them. Because out of his heart comes all the issues, what? Of his life. But what is there is inability to know the things of God. He doesn't put, the value you put on things is not the same value he puts on it. But he comes on Sundays. Because that's tradition. So people don't say he doesn't go to church. So he comes to church. So he said, we got the first crowd. This one said, we got to redeem though. But your mind is spiritual. They don't even understand it. 1 Corinthians 3. I wish I have my time somewhere. So I know how many minutes. Where is it? Up here? No, this is color. Yellow fever, finally. Did you go to Nigeria? It's turned yellow fever. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, listen to Paul, brethren, listen, let's solve problem here. When I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. Why could he not talk to them? Because they wouldn't understand. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. Can you give me New Living Translation? King James is a little kinder. No, don't quote me. I'm playing. I'm joking. That's my main reference Bible, really. King James. I can't do without it. I always go back to King James. No matter what, I go back there. Because that's where I grew. I cut my teeth reading that King James Bible. It's an awesome Bible. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to who? Why now? But there are Christians in church. He said, when I preach to you, there are things I will tell you to understand. So he says, He says, with you, I could not talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to what? This world. This is the problem we have in the body of Christ. As though you belong to this world, or as though you were infants in the Christian life. Continue. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything. Yeah, go and do so, when he wouldn't go. Bro and the wife will be going all over this place. Only two of them and three more people joining them. They will come. They will come. Because that's strong meat. It's strong meat. But when you bring milk, come, let's pray for you. So anointing with milk, drink, cha-cha-cha-cha, they will come. Pastor, pray for us. Because there's no responsibility on them. Come, let me do for you. Milk. You know how you carry a baby? You give him, yes, we have too many milk drinkers. In fact, we have run out of Similac. We've run out of Similac completely. It's all, I'm praying for him. Lay hands on me. Come and visit me. When I was sick, you didn't come. If you come, a lot of milk drinkers. Announce that we are going to win souls. We are going to preach there in that park. Ah, it's hard meat. Oh, God, they can't. You know, I'm telling people the truth. The church is lacking power because we have so many babies in the body. Coming to church, he doesn't even pray about the service. God doesn't talk to him about the service he's attending. I'm telling you. Doesn't pray about it because to him there's no value. It's so selfish. It's all about me. Come, let's pray. We have pre-worship prayer. Oh no, it's bone. He's still sleeping by 9. Waking up by 9. And then it takes him time to remove. It's bone. You're bringing bone, my friend. You are bringing bone. So, no. So you come and be, I hear them greeting people. They are late. Hey, I've not seen you for a long time. So you came to church. Hey, come. Yeah, come. Okay, your daughter. I've not seen your daughter. We are singing. I hear them there. Bone. They can't eat it. Brethren, I'm not joking. It is a problem. It's a problem. problem. You go to families and see problems in homes by people who have been Christians many years. They can't eat bone. They can't endure hardship. They can't. They can't take it. No, no, no. You can't do it to me. Because he wants milk. Okay, it's all right. Okay. Okay. Milk. I drink some more. Brother, we have run out of Similac. We don't have any more to give because we have too many. In fact, we don't have creeps anymore. Look at what the Bible says. I had to feed you with what? Not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. You're still not ready for it. And then church. Believers. If you talk of tithe, it's a problem. You don't tithe. I say no. Let me make ends meet what? First. Because to him is foolishness. He thinks he's the one supplying his needs. He doesn't know that small thing he's stealing from God will solve his problem. He has no idea that this world is full of troubles. That if you remove God, that small thing he has can't save him from cancer or anything. Is that foolishness? The Bible says that the things of God is foolish to cannot happen. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? This is the problem we have. Because people are being fed Moses' laws. Do this. We don't do this. Don't do this. We don't know Jesus. Let's read further in that place. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 3. First Corinthians 3, 3. For you are still controlled by your what? This is the man that you are telling to live like Jesus. He's not controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, why will he not gossip? Why will he forgive anybody? Does the flesh forgive? The Bible says you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Why will he not bear grudge? And why were at it? I was telling Daddy, me and Daddy were discussing this afternoon. I said to him, I said, do you know how the devil is planting resentment in our people? Is this idea of enemy? I said, this idea of enemy, he's using it to wreck lives. Because if anything that happens to somebody, there must be somebody that did it. We don't sit up and take simple responsibility to check, is there anything that I'm doing wrong here? No! You push it. Psh. It must be a neighbor, or Mama Agnes, or Papa Monkeo. There must be a devil. And that now plants into us automatically resentment. And we justify it, carry it along. And many hearts are poisoned with it. The Bible says it defiles the man. It's a very easy thing. Because once their family is the one causing our trouble, there's no way I will love them. Inside of me will be what I justify as legitimate anger against them. And when I travel, I'm not greeting them. I had one record sung by one prophet. He said, anybody who doesn't want good will never come to him. And they were shouting, amen. Then he said, all their children will die. Prophet, it's a record, CD. Now you are talking, but many of you still pray that kind of prayer. And many of you still have prophets that you are calling in Nigeria. Cannot people do stuff like that? Because those who know their God, you don't need no prophet. You'll be strong and do what God. Isn't God leading you? Isn't the Spirit of God guiding you? I'm not hearing God on a daily basis. You know, one time the Lord said to me, He said, if I deal with you on one thing you did wrong, how about all the things you did right? He said, I don't behave like that. He said to me, if I forgive, if once you confess a sin, it's forgiven. He said, if you don't believe it's forgiven, it's not. It's you, not me. See, if you reject my forgiveness, it's not me. You rejected it. So let's finish that verse 3. Controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of what? One another. And quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove, verse 4, you are controlled by your sinful nature? He says, is it not proof? Aren't you living like people of the world? How do you give this? How do you tell this person what to do? The what is controlling him is not the Spirit of God. His carnal nature, his sinful nature is controlling him. And you, upon that, you preach sin to him. What, tell me what benefit that would do. At the end of it, I want to know. How does sin transform that heart? Tell me. Are you telling him what he doesn't know already? You think they don't know it's wrong? Ephesians 4:17. This I say, New King James Version, 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He says, stop walking like them. In the futility of their mind thinks futile things. It does what their mind thinks is not useful. Verse 18, having their understanding what? Darkened. What does it mean darkened? They don't have a revelation. They have the light of Christ in it. Being alienated from the life of God. See, the eternal life is not functioning there. They don't have it. It's not working there. Because of the ignorance that is in them. So when a Christian is also ignorant, he's in this situation too. In this situation too. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. 19. Who being past feeling, they do things, it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them. For the life of me, how can people come to church, they don't talk to each other? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. That person is not spiritual at all. It's totally carnal. It's in this category. You say the past feeling doesn't bother them. Having given themselves over to lewdness, to work of uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Jesus. You see, when you learn Christ, when you know Christ, you find a different type of life right there. He said, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have had him and been taught by him as the truth is in him. If you learn Christ, if you find the truth that is in Jesus Christ, then you begin to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23. Let's read 23, everybody. He said, when you begin to know Christ as the truth is in him, then your mind is going to be what? Renewed, changed. That's what I was telling you on Thursday, that transformation is not an outside thing. It's something that takes place where? Inside. And only Christ, the light of the world, when he shines into the heart, the Bible says, he said, when he breaks through there, the entrance of your world bringeth light. When he breaks through there, he does what nobody can do. He brings you revelation and understanding, and your choices will change. So you see the problem that we have in the body of Christ is 1 Corinthians 15:14. Awake. I'm reading Amplified. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds. Did you see that the prodigal son, the scripture say, when he came to his what? Senses. Because the carnal-minded person is spiritually out of his mind. Completely out of his mind. Totally out of his mind. That's what he's saying. He says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to be sober to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of who God, you are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all the true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame. That's Paul writing to the church. He said, your problem is you don't know God, you don't know Jesus. You don't have the accurate revelation of God. And Jesus is the accurate revelation of God. He said, this is what is causing the trouble. Does he pray? Yeah. He can pray. He can shout. He can stay for 10 hours. He can stay 20 hours praying. Do you know? You know, our what we call Christianity generally, what we think is Christianity is church activities. We do night vigil. We pray 12 hours. I do fast. I do quiet time. We enumerate, and once we are doing it, we have become Jinjin Christian. But I read the Bible, and I found that Jesus had a different impression. He says, by their fruits shall know them. Not these things. I'm telling you, I'm like, whoa. He's not saying the same thing we say. And he said, if you don't love, you don't know me. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. I see a great disadvantage that this carnal-minded thing puts Christians into. See the trouble it causes in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man is a carnal-minded man now, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, what? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually. So that's why Paul said, I'm talking to you, I'm giving you milk, I can't give you hard one because you can't. You know there are people who can't understand what I'm teaching. I'm not kidding. They don't have the ability to understand it. It's far above their head. And they've been Christians many years. They don't even see the relevance of it. So the only way we can renew our mind is to get the knowledge of the truth. Is to get the knowledge of Jesus Christ. John, 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is what? In thee. Even now as thou walkest in the truth. So the first thing is to have the truth where? In me. To have that knowledge of Christ in me. The seed of the word of God. That's what brings this thing. He says, they testify. The first thing you have is that you have this truth in thee. Then you start walking in this truth. It has to be in us before we can walk in it. It has to be where? In us before we can what? Walk in it. Let's say it again. It has to be what? In us before we can what? Come on, say it again. It has to be where? In us before we can what? Walk in. What is that truth that has to be in us? The knowledge of Jesus. Because the truth is in Him. Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10 tells us exactly the same thing I'm saying. And he goes to enumerate, to reveal to us the life that is in Christ. Because part of knowing the truth is to know the life that Jesus lived. Because if I want to know somebody, I need to know his character. I need to understand his behavior. So he says in Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become what? Let's read it together, everybody. Put on your new nature. What's the new nature? The eternal life we have. The life of God, love of God. Put on what? Your new nature. And be renewed as you learn to know who? Your Creator, and become. Remember what Paul wrote. He says, awake to righteousness. He says, you don't know God. You don't know your Creator. He said, that's why you are doing this thing you're doing. But he said, you need to know Him. You need to know Christ. You need to know Jesus. Because He's the revelation of God. This is the revelation of God. You can't know God except you know Christ. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Then he began to show us what this new life looks like. Verse 11. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you came from. Christ is all that matters. And he lives where? In us all. Continue. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with, number one, tender-hearted mercy. What did he say? Clothe yourself with what? He said he's beginning to show us this life. That he says, put it on. This life that Christ gave us. The first thing he mentioned is tender-hearted. What is tender-hearted mercy? Soft. Kind. So what do you mean tender-hearted mercy? I mean, it means you can show mercy and you are not tender. Compassion. You can show mercy, but you are not what? Tender-hearted. Which means you can show mercy. I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you now. I'm forgiving you now. I'm telling you. If you do it again, I'll teach you a lesson. This is the last time, I'm telling you. So it says we need to be tender what? Now, let me confess to you. I'm still learning this one. I'm number one on the list, still learning this one. But God will help me. Telling you, I'm still learning this one. So do I stop teaching you now? Go and sit down. All of us are there. Is it to leave me? I'm going to sit down. All of us are in the same boat. Me and you, the same boat is carrying us. God will help us. I'm learning it. You are learning it. If you don't go to class and they start calling president, Chinedimanda, are you there, president? I'm here. They are learning. I'm learning. You are learning. But we continue to learn. The Bible says, as we continue to learn, the more we are transforming, the more we are. It's a lifelong process. If you stop learning, you stop transforming. You are dead. You are done. So it's a lifelong process of renewing, learning, both by teaching, by experience, by practice. Sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you get it. But you know that you are making progress. You are making what? Progress as you learn. You are making progress as you learn. You are making progress. So the key thing is to keep learning. It's not learning. Learning. The key thing is to keep learning. Who said learning over there? Keep learning. What verse are we reading? Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. The next one is what? Kindness. The next one is what? Humility. Then what? Gentleness and patience. Let's continue. Continue to verse 17. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive some people. And forgive anyone. And forgive anyone. Come on, church. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord also forgave you. So you must forgive others. Let's continue verse 14. All in favor, say I. Some people didn't say I. Above all, this is number one. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, continue. Come on. And let the peace that comes from Christ. This peace doesn't come, church, it doesn't come from circumstances. It doesn't come from outside. It's not the peace that you get because you have, they gave you a raise. No. That peace is not stable. But this one that Jesus gives, the world cannot take it. Because he produces it from where? Within. It is the peace that passeth all understanding. He says it comes from him. It comes from him. When things go haywire, there is this peace that stabilizes you. There's this peace that stabilizes. Praise the Lord. There's this peace that what? Stabilizes. You passes all understanding. Your head can be screaming. You might feel so bad. You might feel, but no matter how you feel, something inside of you is calming you down. Have you experienced that? Calming you down. Calming you down. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is what? So, then peace and always be thankful. Always murmur sometimes. What did he say? Always be thankful. Let me see. 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing Hollywood song. Huh? Sing, what's their name? All these things they do. Some of them, I don't know their name. They sing for you. From Hollywood. Did he say sing Hollywood song? Huh? I feel all right. One time. Bah, bah. Do you know that many Christians sing Hollywood? That's what they listen to. Brethren, let me tell you. They brought a girl here for me. And all she did was listen to this Hollywood thing. And all of a sudden, she started singing and dancing. She couldn't control it. Her body would start moving exactly like those people on stage. Real story. Right? He knows what I'm saying. The body, you see, I don't know the name of that girl. They call her a star. The way she dances, her body will start following the same thing perfectly well. Oh, okay. And she couldn't stop. He saw it with his eyes. This is not made up. All of a sudden, she will start and she can't stop. Can't stop it. And they brought her here one day. They told me, I said, bring her here. They brought her here one day. While praying here Wednesday prayer, I said, if it's the devil, it's the cheapest thing you can do. Any of you can kick out the devil anytime you want. Anybody who is born again can do what? Kick out the devil anytime you want. It's not even a contested issue. I don't know why people honor the devil more than Jesus. I don't know what God you serve. My own God is too much. Praise the Lord. My own God is what? Awesome. So I said, she came here. I said to the devil, I said, before I come to the Levi in Jesus' name, come and get Levi alone. And she was falling all over the place, and God has taught me that sometimes the devil wants to weary you. So you start falling everywhere. You start falling them. Fire. And God said, stop all that. He said, if you believe in the power of that name, you command him to go. It's your faith that will make it work. That Peter said, faith in the name of Jesus made this man to what? He said, if you believe in that name, go your way. It will work. Act like it's true. Honor that name. So sometimes they be falling around and you be following them. So you just fooling yourself around. How many times do you have to mention that name? At the name of Jesus, every name what? One time I was casting out one in Lagos. Then, you know, I learned this thing practically because one, I was praying and I followed this girl. I said to God, well, how long will this last? Come out in Jesus. You must come out in Jesus. You will fall. Goody, 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 goody. I was following her all over. I said, you must come out today. Amen. Finally, I was looking for breath because I've been following her for a life. And I said to the girl, I don't know how long I'll last here. And that's when the Lord said to me, say, you know the devil is fooling you around. He said, making fun of you because you don't have faith in that name. I said, really? He said, yes. If you believe in that name, go home. Go home. It's not your shouting makes it work. It's your faith in that name. And that name commands authority, whatever is mentioned. I said, I'm not following this one again. I said it. And I left. The following day, the girl told me, said, do you know 32 demons came out of me? Yeah. I didn't follow her again. So now, after I learned that one, the next one, you know, let go of lots of distance. And the next one, I now said, you must go. He had the audacity to open the mouth and say, I'm not going. The girl's voice changed. He said, I'm not going. I said, what? I said, no, okay, because I'm standing up and talking to you. I said, I want to show you I'm the boss. I ran here. You're under my feet. I said, I'm going to sit down, cross my leg, and talk to you like a boss. And I did. Carry the chair, sat down, cross my leg. I said, now I'm talking to you as the boss. I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And the thing left immediately. Because they will challenge your faith to know whether you mean what you are saying. If you don't mean it, they make a fool of you. Do you know after falling down, sometimes they don't go. And the state of that person, guess what? Praise the Lord. How did I come to this point, sir? How did we arrive here? Okay, singing psalms, singing what? Psalms and what? Hymns and what? Let me give you a secret. Listen to me. You see, in your house, try to play spiritual music. I'm begging you. The one you love. Watch what will happen in your house. If you keep, sometimes you come and you know the presence. You will say, I told you. You will know it. Keep playing. Create that environment that honors God there. If you have seen this, just keep playing it. Don't worry about it. Play. In your car, play. People want to play something, tell them, please, I'm sorry, but I want to play this. Watch what will happen. Sometimes you enter your car, you will know it is here. I don't have to tell you that. I've had the demon-possessed person, he couldn't enter my car. They told me to take him somewhere. He said, no, there's somebody in that car, I can't enter. Yeah, and my wife was there. You remember? He said, I can't enter. I said, see, don't you? He said, there's somebody that I'm not entering. You know, you can create the atmosphere for miracle for yourself. Make your home a place of habitation for him. And he will manifest his presence for you in a way that's amazing. I'm telling you, just keep spiritual hymns, you know, whatever music that blesses your heart, you just keep, not noisy, because you are not the only Christian there. You know, play it in a way that you won't bother people. No. Praise the Lord. He said, that's what we should do. That's what that life does. It praises God all the time. I've never seen anybody who praises God who has lost battles. They don't lose battles, because before the battle comes, they have lifted their spirit in praise. Amen? Am I communicating? Ephesians 5:1. We are looking at this life of Christ, the eternal life that they gave us. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. This is, which translation is this, but imitate God is the translation. Yeah, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Keep going. Live a life filled with what? Love. Following the example of Christ. That's why we must know his life. So we follow his example. Example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Keep going. Verse 3. Let there be no sexual what? Immorality, impurity. Did you see what I was telling you on Sunday? That you shouldn't live in spiritual filth. It calls it impurity. Like you have impurity in water. Impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Keep going now. 4. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Continue. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Continue. Don't participate in these things, in the things these people do. 8. For once you were full of what? Darkness. But now you have light from where? The Lord. So live as people of light. Continue. For this light within you, produces only what is good and right and true. This light you have produces it. This Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory, producing these things. He said, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Thus, don't be careless in your decisions. 14. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, do what? Do you know why evil is evil? It produces evil. Continue. 12. It is shameful even to talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. Be running it now. But their evil intentions will be exposed when light shines on them. Continue. Where are we? For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Continue. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In other words, don't spend your time on phone calls. Invest your time in something useful. Don't let friends take away your time from you. Your time is your, it's your equity? No. Time is your, it's what you invest. What do you call what you invest? Asset. The Bible says, redeem it. Don't let them steal it from you. It's time that you, if you invest your time properly, it brings you returns. So he's saying, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. 17 now. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. What does he want us to do? To know Christ Jesus crucified. Now let's continue. And then, because of time, I want to rush. So how is this? How does Christ produce this life in us? Number one is that he poured his life in us. He gave us this eternal life. He poured it in us. And number two, that's why I'll start to continue on Thursday, is not only that he poured it in us, but he gives us revelation about these things we are reading. For instance, if it doesn't open our eyes of understanding, we can read this thing until we have bald head, it will make sense. But there has to be a willingness to know, and the willingness to walk in it. There has to be what? A willingness to know, and you remember Paul. Paul said that I might what? Know him. He had a desire to know him. And God began to reveal to him. And then, not just a willingness to know, but the willingness to do what the revelation is what? Showing. There has to be a willingness. If there's no willingness, forget it. It's not going to happen. People, they pray for revelation, but they have not shown, it's not a treasure to them. If you want revelation, it has to be a treasure for you, which means you pay the price for it. Which means you get the revelation, you respond to it. If you respond to it, more revelation will what? Will come. I'm telling you, one time I said to the Lord, I said, you talk to me all the time. He said, yeah, I love you. It's a lover's talk. It's a lover's talk. I'm telling you, what God has given me, if I start teaching it here, I have a lot. Because it's like every time you open the Bible, God starts showing you stuff right there. Showing you stuff. Sometimes I'll be on one verse, another 30 minutes. Just writing, typing. At the time, I thought my iPad was full. typing reference, typing, he will tell you, go there and see this one. 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 When you preach, take this one and put there. That's what this is. You just keep pam, 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 you keep typing. It's amazing what this Bible contains. Totally amazing. Sometimes I'll share some of them with you. The mysteries of life, the key to success, is the knowledge that God gives you. That puts you ahead of every situation. One step ahead. If you want to be ordinary, you can be ordinary. But if you want to live eternal life, you can. It's all up to you. Because Christ has given it to us. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything? I asked the Lord, I said, after taking this, and I said, I want you to confirm it. I said, He will. So I want you to rise up. I want to pray.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.